5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. I am Stephen Scott here with you for another hour. Lovely to have your company. And as always, I am joined by my Tech Talkers. I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Hurrah!
I'm back from gallivanting. I feel like Sean should be announced first. He's done all the heavy lifting recently and I've just been gallivanting.
Thanks for giving away the second guest.
Yeah, spoiler.
Yeah, I know. I tell you this, you must be terrible if you go to see a movie. You must know the ending. You're like, don't go and see Titanic, you know, that ship at the end doesn't go well.
We watched Poseidon yesterday. That's good, guys. Watch that. Sorry,
boat that turns upside down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, is this a late
review?
That's
a spoiler.
Wasn't that 1970 something?
Well, there was a new version that was done. Was there not another version
remake
done recently?
Yeah.
I said recently, but maybe 20 years ago, probably.
Okay, we've both spoiled a film. Carry on.
Yeah, we're spoiling everything here. Sean Priest is with us. Hi, Sean Priest. Didn't get a chance to introduce you before. You are here.
Surprise! It's me. Hello, how's everyone doing?
It's Sean Priest. He's in this week because Tim unfortunately can't be with us as we record this. It is American insert massive holiday here day.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What is it going on in America? Is it Independence Day again?
Well,
congratulations. Celebrations.
Tim just said it was a national holiday. I mean, we never looked into it.
No, we didn't.
Just making it up.
Because we don't do research on this programme, as anybody who listens will know.
It could just be a massive holiday for him.
Well, maybe it is.
On a massive scale.
Maybe it's all about him.
That would be.
It's Tim Day. National Tim Day. I like
this. We love you, Tim.
Yeah. Well, get well soon, Tim. Happy. And I say that because, national holidays in America, as is becoming the case with Britain, involve a lot of eating.
Yep. Absolutely.
So you see where I'm going with this.
I'm jealous.
National Toilet Roll Day will be tomorrow. anyway, welcome to Tech Talk.
Weirdest intro ever.
Okay. Great start.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right, okay. Well, we've got lots to talk about this week. Tons going on. We're going to be talking about some news about the Amazon Echo, which has got some new features coming to the US. Tim can get excited. Not so good for us here in the UK, but we can all get excited about a newly announced event this month from Microsoft.
Well, there will be another one to get excited about, but yeah, that one's been announced.
Well, again, as we record this, and I have to say, I am slightly nervous about this because I fear that as soon as we say thank you for listening, we'll catch you next time, the announcement happens. Because we're all assuming, the world is assuming, all the rumour mongers and everyone else are all suggesting that it's going to be, the 14th, possibly 15th of the September, that will be the event. So next week, Monday or Tuesday, probably Tuesday. Some are saying it's going to be 13th because they're going to launch the iPhone 13. Absolute nonsense. Apple don't hold events on a Monday that I'm aware of, unless they have, in which case then they have, and then that we'll delete that bit.
Hang on. No. I'm having an issue here, right?
Just one?
You Apple fanboys, why are you excited by Apple but not by the Microsoft event?
We didn't say we weren't.
Stephen did.
No, what I inferred was that we were surprised it was a Microsoft event and not an Apple event that was being announced. I mean, although in saying that, everybody seems to be announcing events in September at the moment. A lot of game events going on. I see Sony PlayStation announcements coming. There's other companies doing big announcements. Microsoft launching. So what are we going to get? A new Surface Pro, probably. Maybe a new Surface laptop. It feels like yesterday we got the new ones of those.
But hang on. What are we going to get from the Apple event? A new iPhone, possibly?
Oh, yeah. Well, and of course, that's right. And of course, you're not going to be there with us watching this event, commenting on it.
Listen, I am as excited by the Apple event as I am by the Microsoft event. That's all I'm saying.
Oh,
Microsoft events over the past few years have been exciting. They've been sexy. I mean, the Microsoft hardware is now sexy. That's all I'm saying. When they brought out the, what was it called? The Surface Studio, you know, that tablet PC. That was so cool.
Oh, yeah. And $3,500 for a computer. Brilliant. I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just for the common man. That great spec-wise.
Sorry. I forgot about the bargain basement that is Apple products. Yeah, sorry.
No, but I am excited. I want to see another Duo. They don't call it a phone. It's not a phone. It's a little foldable dual screen thing that has a camera on it and has a phone in it. But anyway, I'm looking forward to something.
Are you talking about the Neo?
No, the Duo is already out and they're thinking about, you know, there's speculation that there'll be another Duo, updated innards and stuff.
Innards.
The Neo, I think, is very unlikely, but I'm really excited if that does come out. Do you want to say what that is?
What, the Surface Duo?
No, the Neo. So the Neo is kind of like two tablets with a hinge, much bigger than the Duo, basically, the parent of the Duo.
Yes.
The Neo.
That's what I just said.
Running...
Yeah. Hello. Oh, is this the non?
What's going on?
No, he's saying the Duo is out now, and he's not sure if we'll see the Neo yet. They're two separate devices, the Duo and the Neo.
And am I right in saying that the Duo came to the US first? It took a while to come here,
didn't it? I don't know if it's here. I don't know.
Well, the Neo is certainly not out, but the Duo
is out. I don't know.
The Duo
is out.
I think there's a communication issue going on in this week's program.
Yeah,
I think Robin needs to unwax those ears for a start.
Okay,
that Mimi hearing app on again, will you?
Shall I do it again? So the Duo is a small phone-sized dual-screen device running Android.
Yeah,
and the Neo is going to be a much bigger version. With two tablets that you would fold together, so two screens, and potentially with a keyboard as well that would kind of come out from the bottom, but you could certainly use the two screens together, much like the Duo, but running a version.
Cards on the table here. Who is interested in the blind community of this kind of device?
Nobody. Nobody. I got my hands on a Google Fold phone a few weeks ago, and you know what? It was a bit of a nerdy niceness, but aside from that, actually using the thing, I don't know. Look, if you've got low vision and you consume content on it, fantastic. But for me, no, I still haven't found a use for the dual screens. Why? Why bother?
I don't actually need a screen at all, guys.
Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I don't need one, I certainly don't need two.
Yeah, it's true.
I think the idea here is you can obviously run different apps, and you're right. If you've got low vision, this could be really useful. But I think from a blind person's perspective, and I am kind of cutting it down the middle here, I think one part of the community will definitely benefit in some way with this, providing the accessibility stands up well enough on it. And if it's Android, then it should. I mean, I've said this before. I think Samsung phones, for me, have always provided the biggest level of magnification and the most usable magnification on an Android smartphone. Now, I've tried TCL. Recently, I've tried... What's the other one I've been trying? It wasn't TCL. There was another maker I tried recently. And it didn't have that option either. In fact, actually, I'll tell you, it was the Pixel. That was it. It was the Pixel. I couldn't get the screen size or the display to magnify itself to the same level that I could get on the Samsung. I don't know why. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's something Samsung have done, but I couldn't get the screen display when you'd use... Because you have to... There's two things you've got to do. You've got to turn on screen... Is it screen zoom, I think they call it? And you've got to really push that all the way up to the top, and then you've got to push the magnification of the text all the way up. So two settings in there, and you've got to do both to get the maximum effect. And if you don't do that, then, you know, obviously you get the impact. So I did go in, I did play around with it, but the maximum just wasn't really very maximum for me. It wasn't usable for me on a Pixel.
On. Stop trying.
No, not exactly, but I'm thinking about people with low vision who might want to use this.
No, I get what you're saying. And look, but I mean, if we think about foldable devices and dual screen, basically we're talking about the ability to carry around a large screen in your pocket, right? Which can be of benefit if we're talking about something like a CCTV magnifier. This could be useful, but from the terms of using your smartphone, no, I can't think of a real use case for the visually impaired.
So yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to this event. I am looking forward to the Microsoft event. I think Apple, in some ways, feels, dare I say it, a bit staid at the moment. I know that things will no doubt change. I mean, I think an October or November event will come along where we'll see what I'm interested in, which is the new MacBook lineup, possibly a new MacBook Pro design.
Boring.
Well, that interests me more than the iPhones at the moment. I feel that what we have in the iPhone lineup is not really going to change, and I can't imagine what they're going to put into the iPhone 13 that is going to make me think, well, what's the difference between that and my iPhone 12 Pro Max?
Absolutely. But, I mean, they all have the same problem. You know, it's Microsoft are sort of boring until they bring out something new, and Apple, the last few events have been boring until, you know, the M1 processor comes out and suddenly, oh, now that's something new. Otherwise, it's just, okay, we're getting a faster processor, maybe something else, but it's the same old stuff we've seen before, and they're all having the same problem, really. You can't invent something new every year.
No, but I think it's the way that it's going. I don't know how you feel about this, Robin, but I feel we're talking more about touchscreen, which I'm not massively keen on. Although, ironically, the iPhone, as we all know, and the iPad and the Apple lineup is all fully accessible, as is Android. But when it comes to computers, I just don't think that the blind people are or should be, I would think, particularly excited about a touchscreen device.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Windows has been touchscreen capable for a while, and I don't know anyone with no vision, for example, that would use it. It's just too big an area, even though you can, you know, roam your finger around a bit like you can in iOS. But for me, I think that the main reason why touch is so brilliant on your phone is because the screen is small, and also because the hotkey, the keyboard support, isn't as mature as it is on Windows. You know, hotkeys are such an efficient way of working. That's how I drive everything on Windows. Obviously, you know, being blind, but it's just so efficient. So, you know, maybe if our sort of touch-first devices, like our phones, were really fantastically supported with keystrokes, then who knows, you might see more people with a Bluetooth keyboard and just not even touching the screen.
Well, we're going to get into that by one of our emails later, actually. And actually, I should also say at this point, you might be thinking, hang on, has Stephen forgotten someone? He's not mentioned Emails Andy yet. Well, as you will know, Emails Andy has been with us now for a long period of time here on the show, reading out our emails. And in fact, and just for full disclosure, the past two episodes of the show that you've listened to were actually recorded quite a bit in advance because I was off on holiday. So for that reason, the show was recorded in advance. In that time, since we've got back and we get back into the studio today to record, Emails Andy has got a new job. He's got himself a brand new gig and he is off to pastures new. And I just want to take this moment to say thank you to Andy for his time on the show over the past few years and for reading out the emails, becoming a major part of the programme. And we'll be sad to see him go, but we absolutely wish him all the best. So round of applause for Andy. Emails Andy.
Off on well a done, new, Andy.
Off irreplaceable.
On yeah, yeah.
Well, you say that.
Champion of Android, amongst other things, keeping us right. Yep.
Well, yeah, you say irreplaceable. Interestingly, there was a joke made to me, I think on Twitter, someone said, are you going to replace Emails Andy with a robot? And, you know, the temptation was to kind of have a joke with that and have some fun with it. But actually, in the end, we did replace Andy with a robot. Yes. Because otherwise, the option would be for me to read out the emails. And my braille isn't that good at this point, and I don't think my eyes could do it anymore. So, yes, we have converted your emails into
robots.
Robots, yeah. So
let's see at the end of the show what people think.
Well, we're just trying it this week, okay? Because if it doesn't work, we'll look at something. But I'd be intrigued to hear what people think about this. Does it work for you? Do you like it? Can you understand it? Is it clear enough? And the other thing, there's another challenge with this, in that what I was thinking about doing was associating the person on the email with the right voice. If someone's American, we'll use an American voice. If someone's female, we'll use a female voice, male, etc. But of course, that does throw up some challenges with some of the names we get. We don't always know if the person is male or female. So if you are happy to, as you email us, if you are prepared to put in your pronouns, then we will then know and we can assign your voice to you. And, you know, I can see it's a whole new show developing voices. I want this voice. I want that voice. I like that voice better.
Can we Can we just not turn Andy's voice into a TTS?
It'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? It'd be so much easier. But no, I just kind of wanted to make it feel more like the person who was talking, if you know what I mean. So yeah, let's try it, see how you find it, and you can email in and tell us what you think, and we'll get an angry robot voice to read out those emails. I'll search for angry robot voice and see what comes up. But yeah, look, lots, as I say, to talk about. I was hoping to talk this week about Tweezcake, because this is a new app that's replaced the app Quinter, which feels like it's been here for like 2 minutes, which I think is also not replacing, but part of the same band of people who've created TW Blue. This is the Twitter app, which is an accessible Windows, and in Quinter's case, it was a Mac app as well. Well, TW Blue, to my understanding, is still going strong. Tweezcake is replacing Quinter. So if you've got Quinter, support is ending, and you will not be able to use the app, I guess, after a period. So Tweezcake is the replacement. Now, that's all I can tell you at the moment. I was hoping to have downloaded the app and played with it, because there's two things that interest me about this app. One is its simplicity. It doesn't have a UI. So I know, Robin, you love TW Blue for that. You can just access this program from anywhere in the system. You don't even have to bring the program into focus at all. So that's good news. And the second thing is, it also makes Telegram accessible. So it covers two social networks rather than just one. So if you were, and a lot of people want to use Telegram these days, it seems to be becoming a social network of choice. You can do that through this app, through Tweezcake. These names are getting ridiculous, but you know, it's it's interesting to see these apps develop, and I just wish they would put Facebook into it, but I don't know if anyone can do that yet.
So is this purely for the Mac, Tweezcake?
No, this is PC, but there is a Mac app coming soon.
Coming soon, okay.
This is very early days. I mean, we're talking weeks here since this has been brought out, so we're still early days, still in development, as Quinter was. Yeah. But I think my reading of it, the development of Quinter has thrown up some challenges, and I think there's been a bit of a Friday night rewrite going on, and that's where this came from. Yeah.
But aren't they all pretty much the same? I found, look, I don't use them very often, but I did use Chicken Nugget. I did TW Blue, and they all seem to be sort of the same code near enough. Like they're
same
using the
source
same
code.
Yeah, exactly.
Open source. Yep. Which is probably why we're seeing quite a few. And I think that's really good because, Chicken Nugget hasn't been updated recently. I think TW Blue is a bit more active. But they all, there's none of them that do everything. I want to be able to add a photo to a tweet and also an alternative text description. And I don't think any of them do that. So let's fingers crossed for Tweezcake that it will.
Yeah, I think one thing I'd love, probably two things, I think, yeah, definitely the alternative text, that is key, but scheduling of tweets. I find that it should, in my head, it should be the easiest thing to do on Twitter, especially something like TW Blue could do that so easily, I think. Being able to schedule tweets in advance, even to one or a number of accounts, would be amazing, in the same way that you can get apps like Hootsuite or TweetDeck or Buffer to do. And interestingly, if you are looking for one, which, I mean, accessibility is an interesting one because it depends on what you're using. I've been playing with Hootsuite, which I find pretty good on the iPad and on the iPhone, not so great on the Mac or the PC. But Buffer is actually not too bad. Again, better on iOS, and you can share straight to Buffer, which is kind of cool, and then organize everything through the app there. So that's kind of quite cool. If you're wanting to schedule tweets in advance and add those alternative descriptions for your images as well. Of course, the big challenge for me is knowing what's in the picture in the first place. So I've got to rely on AI sometimes to tell me what the image is, and just hope I've got it right. So, you know, I can... I almost am tempted just to use the same image every single time and just put a different description on it of what I think it is. And, you know, just it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a picture of a bus, just a random picture of a bus or a laughing horse or something. And,
of course, the classic laughing horse.
The laughing horse, the classic picture. And just the text description is, you know, new Microsoft Surface Pro 7. and all those blind folk going, there's a picture of a new... Wondering what on earth the laughing horse is all about. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Before people mail in, we know that the Twitter, the local Twitter client on Windows 10 is nice and accessible.
Yes.
And so that, you know, is one. It's just a bit clunky.
Yeah, it is a bit clunky. And I don't think you can schedule there either, can you?
Don't know. Probably not, no. Some of them do it with a third party, so you have to sign into Buffer first. Mm. So, yeah, I don't know whether that would then add that in. Chicken Nugget does it that way.
But I am going to download Tweezkit because I want to play with it. I like these apps, and I do like the way that we're going here. I mean, look, I know that, Sean, you seem a bit dismissive of these apps, but I think more choice is good. I mean, considering how many apps there are for Twitter at the moment in the mainstream world, I mean, why shouldn't we not have more choice, right?
No, more choice is great, but I just wish they were developed a little bit more because they all seem to have the same basic features as we just talked about. I just wish there was more, I don't know, concentration on putting a fuller and richer experience into one of these apps, you know, maybe TW Blue, or I thought Chicken Nugget was going to be the one because that was around for years, and then it just seemed to teeter off to nothing, and it's just a little bit disappointing.
TW Blue is my favourite. That at the moment is my favourite. So let's see if Tweezkit can beat that.
I want Facebook. You're right. Facebook. Yes. Something to make Facebook easy. That is something we are sorely missing. I can only use it really on the phone. Being able to use it easily, and that's the key word, easily on the computer would be great.
And I know some people think, some people might say, well, why not just use it on the iPhone, right? But the problem is, I don't know about you guys, but I tend to spend my day in front of a computer. So I want to have the option of just doing it all in one place. It's a lot easier. Of course I can have I do have a keyboard, the MX keys that can bounce between different devices, and that's all fine. But you're managing all these different headsets and systems and things, and you know everything's going on and voices everywhere. And it'd just be nice to have it all in one place. And I don't know why Facebook. It's down to Facebook, surely. It's got to be down to Facebook. In the open source tools that you get for Twitter just don't obviously exist for Facebook, or if they do, they don't work well enough to be able to create an app like Tweezkake or TW Blue or Chicken Nugget in that field. But I'd love someone to develop that.
Facebook aren't big on APIs, are they? Like Twitter is. So to get a flourishing ecosystem. But I just wanted to give a quick shout out for the desktop client of WhatsApp. It is so brilliant, so accessible. Instantly syncs so that the exact same thing is on your phone as on the desktop client. You know, just all keyboard driven, really, really good. So shout out for the WhatsApp client and the Club Deck.
What are you talking about? Absolute nonsense. I don't understand this. I came onto WhatsApp group and you were all talking about the WhatsApp desktop. It's been out for years, for one thing, and it's still clunky as anything to use. Yes, technically it's accessible and we can use it, but it's not a good experience. What are you talking about?
You just got to know your way around and which bits of the long... Because it does
Sounds
give
like
you
a
all
challenge.
Of your... You've got main nav at the top, then you've got all of your groups that you subscribe to, and then you've got the active group at the bottom. So as long as you know how to kind of jump around a bit, it's all there.
Which is what, really Control fast. F6 or Control Tab?
No, just H to get to the top. Of the kind of main area, then you can get to your groups. But if you tend to stay in one group, then just use Control F and search for the group you want. It'll
search
prompt
for
you on
the
it.
Group. I mean, come on, where are we in the 1980s? That's ridiculous. No.
Well, they're all there. It's just, you know, finding it on the screen.
That means,
enter
Robin,
on that.
That he can't be bothered.
Terrible.
That's
no, hit enter on that. Let me finish. So yeah, hit enter on your group, and then you know, if you stay in one group quite a lot, then you won't have to do that very often. Then Control N to go to the bottom. You're on your voice message button. Just do Control up arrow a couple of times to get to the last message or messages. It's just really.
Is this on the Mac or on the PC for you?
This is the PC. I don't know if it's on the Mac.
Well, it's interesting because this is what I was going to actually bring up this week. There's a WhatsApp desktop beta, which has been launched for macOS, which I, again, thought had been around for a while, but maybe not. Maybe it's just been on the PC. I've tried it before, which I think it has been, in fairness. I've probably used it on the PC a few times. I have this constant battle. Sean knows this only too well because he has to listen to my brain every day, you know, kind of try and work all this out. I jump between PC and Mac like, I don't know. It's not that I want to pick a side because I don't. I use them both for different things. I just wish I could get some, you know, some kind of conjoined version together that would just work.
It's that consistency, isn't it? Because you find something that works really well on the Mac, and then you'll find another app, and you think, this is just so complicated or clunky to navigate around, and it's so much easier on Windows. I mean, you know, there's pros and cons for both of them.
I saw an email the other day, I think it was a tweet actually, I can't remember. It was on somewhere. I was reading this, and it came up because, I'll tell you what it was. I've just bought myself a new iMac, the 24-inch M1 version, to play around with, and it is going to be my kind of audio recording machine. I've decided that's going to be what that device does, and there's a long story behind that as well, which I'll not bore you with right now. But let's just say it all started by buying a microphone that cost £80, and now it's cost me well over £2,000 just to facilitate this
bargain.
Stupid microphone, which I'm talking to you on now. So if you think this is a nice microphone, then there you go. Rode NT USB Mini, that's the mic, and it's a brand new microphone. Well, I say brand new, it's actually been out a little while, but they've brought out some software, which again is not accessible at all. But the upside is, for me, it's more accessible than the solution I had. So it's that kind of best of both worlds, or, you know, what do you call it? Best of a bad situation,
bad
shall
job,
we say.
Yeah.
Neither of them are particularly accessible. The Rodecaster Pro, which I used for a long time and still have on my desk, although it's turned off right now, was the device I was using. But of course, the problem with the Rodecaster Pro is it's touchscreen based and it's not accessible. And I was finding it harder and harder to navigate. Because I'm trying to use memory to try and use this touchscreen, but the problem is that the buttons are far more sensitive, or not as sensitive, I should say, as, say, an iPhone or an Android screen. So you have this challenge of you're pressing things, you don't know if they've been pressed or not. You don't have a clue. So I was having some issues with that. And Rode came out with this software called Rode Connect, which is a free piece of software that lets you essentially split up all the parts of your system that you want to use in a podcast or a recording. So it's built for podcasters primarily, but it only works with this microphone, the Rode NT USB Mini. And I found out today why that is. Because weirdly, it is the cheapest microphone they make. So you would think if they were going to make it, you know, so they could sell more microphones, they'd be making it with the high-end ones. But actually, the lowest cost microphone that they make is the only one that works with this. And you can actually plug in four of these microphones to your computer. Sorry, I'm geeking out a bit here, but I think people might find this interesting. You can plug in four of these microphones via USB to your Mac or your PC, works on both, and you can do a podcast with them. Now, up until now, you couldn't do that. You couldn't plug in more than one USB mic without the computer getting completely confused or using a third-party app to try and sort it all out. Whereas now you can plug one or two or up to four of these microphones into a computer. That then becomes available as a fader, as a slider on your screen, on your virtual mixer. You can add system audio, which you could actually have any app you want pointed at. So it could be that you have the whole system audio coming through that, or you could just have a particular application that you want running through it. And you've got virtual audio. And virtual audio is for Zoom or Teams or whatever else you want. So it kind of separates them all out. That is not possible on the Rodecaster Pro. You get everything through the one channel. So if I've got VoiceOver running, as I do now, as I've got my notes in front of me, I can listen to VoiceOver. It's not being recorded, but I can hear it in my headphones whilst I'm hearing you guys, whilst I'm hearing myself, and it's recording just the bits I want, which is you guys and me.
Sounds amazing, right? A really good solution. It's like one of those portable hardware pieces of kit, like the Podtrac P4 or something like that. A laptop and four of these USB microphones, and you're set with this software. Not accessible. I mean, come on, Rode. Why is it not accessible? It's so frustrating. When it comes to audio software, when the accessibility is just non-existent, I find it so annoying, and I don't think there's an excuse for it.
I mean, Audio Hijack is accessible, but very, very complicated. So what you've got there is probably like the version that's optimized for podcasting and should be simpler to use, but, you know, the accessibility isn't there.
Now, here's the reason why I'm using this versus using Rodecaster. As well as getting the ability to move the sliders around, which I must admit I don't tend to do because I find that more challenging. I use magnification to use this app. And on the app itself, it's very simple, very clean layout. You've got a big record button. huge text, which tells me it's counting up so that I know it's recording. I can see levels on the right-hand side, so I know when I speak, I'm getting levels, and that's great. On the right-hand side, I've got these little pads. Now, you have these physical buttons on the Rodecaster Pro that you can press, and that plays my jingle. So if I want to play my news jingle...
News from the internet!
Then I can just play that in, right? And that's cool. But I would just hit the button. But the problem is I don't know what is on the buttons I'm pressing. I have to constantly remember which button the jingle is on. And there are various banks of audio that kind of show up on those eight pads. So these eight pads constantly change depending on what bank you're on. And of course, if you move to the wrong bank, you don't realize it, you end up playing the wrong jingle. Whereas here, I can zoom right in. So I can basically make one pad the size of a screen. And that's how I do it. That is essentially
it's
how
I do it. It's a workaround, but there's absolutely no reason why that first sound cart pad could be Alt-1 and Alt-Shift-1 to change between the banks. Just putting in some simple hotkeys, never mind about, you know, labelling things correctly, just putting in some simple hotkeys would make the world of difference.
So it's a version 1.1 at the moment. There are lots of updates coming. I believe there is a community out there already campaigning to Rode to make their software more accessible, because I think those of us who want to get into more podcasting, and there's lots of blind people want to do it, this kind of software could really make it easy for you. I mean, really could. And it wouldn't take much to make this really accessible and even maybe go further than that, even having, for example, ways to tell if your levels are going too high by maybe telling you if you're peaking or whatever, you know. There's things you can do. And you're absolutely right, Sean. You know, just simple hotkeys. That would be a great place to start.
And the price. I mean, the entry level to start podcasting or audio, whatever you want to do. I mean, when you compare the price of this software to the price of the Rodecaster hardware mixer you've got there, I mean, you know, there's no comparison. Just make the software
accessible.
And
like I said, did I? I mean, the microphone cost £80. The actual software is free. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
So they've created a Rodecaster Pro in software form and given it away.
Exactly. With the caveat being it only works. You do need that microphone for it to work. But that's currently. There's a rumour that later on it will open up.
Well, what they've said is it will be open to other Rode mics. So whether or not it's open to all USB mics, I don't know. But I think there's a lot of people out there would like to see it work with, for example, the Elgato Wavelink. Well, not Wavelink, Wave 3, Wave 5. Microphones, which are really cool, because one thing this mic doesn't have is a mute button on it. The other ones do, and that would be kind of cool to have, especially there is a mute option on the actual screen, but
just
you gotta
yank out the USB.
Say again.
Just yank out the USB.
Just pull out. Yeah, that's right. Just pull out the USB. You know, another thing that I like about this little microphone is really cool. I mean, it's very well built. It's solid. It's got a kind of metal, nylon-y feel to it. The actual cradle is definitely made of metal for sure, but it's got its own headphone jack built in. So you just plug the headphones in and all your system audio, all the podcast audio, everything comes through this. I don't have to have anything plugged into the computer at all. So for one cable, one mic, and my iMac 24, which has got a single cable, I've reduced the clutter and my impact on the world's resources. No end.
Now, this is an sorry, I don't want to take up time, but this is an interesting thing, because we've been talking about your setup and everything, and I've been talking about my setup. How important is this aesthetics of it? Because we're all trying to get rid of these cables, and we want less clutter on the desk. And to some extent, it's at the it's at the cost of making it. It's actually a bit harder to use sometimes because we're trying to just declutter the desk. And why does that matter? Why do we care about that so much?
I've embraced the cable lifestyle. Yeah. My solution has about 18 cables associated with it.
I know, but it's so annoying. And I don't know why it annoys me so much. It's, I've got to try and cut down on the amount of cables going into this mixer. But why should I actually care? It works.
Okay, and I'll tell you the answer to that.
Go on.
My wife comes in the other day. Actually, I tell her a couple of weeks ago. And she says to me, do you want me to talk you through the latest electric bill? That's what changed my mind. Because there was a marked difference since I moved into this room and over the last year, and the amount of stuff that has emerged. And I have to say, guys, when you're buying 14 plug adapters for a single, and I've got three of those currently in function at the moment, you know things are getting a bit wild.
Yeah.
So it's time to cut back a little bit. And, you know, it is about, obviously, the Earth's resources, for one. More importantly, perhaps to me, my electric bill and the cost that's gone out. And, you know, the heat that gets built up in this room because of all the stuff that's on.
Oh, I know.
That can be cut off. And, you know, I think you're right. It does sometimes come at the cost of function. You know, it looks great, but it's not as functional. But I think it's what you make of it, right? I mean, you know, I think you were saying to me, you know, why are you going back to Mac fully when you really want to be using Windows? And I've got a fantastic new Windows PC here, really, really good. I really love it. And I'm just thinking, well, you know what I'll do? I'll just connect to it via remote desktop connection. I don't need to have another monitor on a desk, which I can't use anyway. I mean, that's the ridiculous nature of being blind sometimes. You have things on your desk you don't need, like a screen. I'm powering a screen for no reason whatsoever. Just on the off chance that something goes wrong and I've got to show someone and be my eyes or Ira the problem. It just seems crazy. So if I just pull it up on RDC, it doesn't matter. It's just a window on my screen on the one Mac that I've got. That's my take.
My screen is never on, but it does hold my webcam up at just the right height.
Oh, there you go. Well, I don't mind so much about the webcam from the PC side, but you know what? The Mac's got one built in, and that's another cable gone. That's another thing gone. I don't have another USB hub to power, which I'm doing as well.
It's just a terrible webcam, that's all. So it's
it's not. No, apart, Apple say it's the best webcam ever made in a computer. Oh, wow, and okay. Why would they lie? Why would they lie?
To be fair, cable management is big for them, isn't it? They only have one cable coming out of the back of the new iMacs, don't they?
With one cable.
Yep, splitter a bit further down where you plug in all your stuff.
So, look, I'm not going to say too much on this topic anymore because I do talk about it a lot on the other show. And, you know, for those of you who listen, and you can listen to my adventures on buying accessories as well. Oh, my goodness. I never Google iMac accessories. Just don't do it because, you know, it just costs me so much money and stuff's coming and apparently there's import taxes because it's coming from the States. And I'm like, what am I doing? Trying to declutter.
Enjoying yourself. Don't worry about it.
Having fun. I am having fun.
People want to know what colour it is, though, before you go off the topic.
Oh, well, boring silver.
Oh.
It is classic actually because silver. It's the only one that was in stock. Stock is really difficult to get, and the only one I could get from the A shop, not the Apple store, but the other one, was silver. That was the only one I could get. So, yeah, kind of annoying. But you know what? Who cares?
Backs against the wall.
Exactly. What's the point? I like the red one, yet it's pink at the front, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. It's red, it's not pink. Mind you, I am colourblind, so I'm probably the wrong person to ask. Anyway.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Well, we kind of change it up a bit this time around because we're also getting tweets as well that I wanted to bring in. Lots of people following me on Blind Guy Tech on Twitter. Sean, tell us your Twitter account so people can follow you and shout at you.
Oh, okay. My Twitter handle is at the blurred nerd.
And Robin?
At USA 2 day. Terrible. Number 2.
Terrible. Makes no sense. I have no idea what that means.
I can tell you the story.
It's like a newspaper.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't been in touch to say, can we have that?
Yeah. No. Oh. They can't. I'm holding on to it.
Visually frustrated on Twitter poses a question. Without any sight support or assistive tech, how many chocolate bars could you identify by touch alone?
Oh, this is an amazing tweet. Well done.
Visually frustrated says it's a great game to play with sighted people.
Ooh.
Twix. Okay. Definitely Twix.
Ah, but what's the difference between a Twix and a twirl?
Twirl.
I was going to say Spira, but I'm showing my age.
Spira.
Oh, they were amazing.
Was it Spira or Spiral?
I think it was Spira. Or am I thinking of Spira the Dragon on place? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I do remember it, yeah. What one?
Curly Whirlies, easy.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, that's obvious, right?
Kit Kats, easy.
Yeah, but depends.
Crunchy, they're longer and a little bit narrower.
That's a bit tough.
You can't press them.
No, you can't press them. Can we squeeze them visually? Sorry, who was it?
Can we break them in half inside the packet?
Probably, yeah. Well, unless it's in the fridge. You know, savages that eat chocolate out of a fridge.
Mars Whisper? Bar, you can press the top quite easily.
Yep. Oh, Whisper. Mars bar's easy to figure out. Whisper?
No, whispers are smooth, aren't they? They don't have any ripples on the top.
No, but they've got a distinctive shape.
Sloped.
They do.
Yes.
Slightly like sloped. A gold bar.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. And of course, then you don't know whether it's a gold. They made mint ones for a while and stopped that, but this is a good topic for me. I know I could be at this all day, right? I could do this all day.
Double decker, they're a bit taller because they're double, and they have a little kind of ridge around the bottom. Yep.
What do? Sorry.
Double decker.
Double. I'll give you that one. Yep. Walnut whip. I can.
After eights.
That's not a bar.
It's not getting a bit weird, yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that, Visually Frustrated. You've got us all intrigued now. And now I want chocolate. We should actually do a different game on the radio. We should just sort of shake chocolate and see if you can guess. Will we do that?
Hang on.
I actually
that's
have.
That's impossible. Of course you've got chocolate to hand. Yes.
Would you revel in such an activity?
Oh, it's not them. It's not them. They're downstairs in the cupboard. Right, ready?
Ooh, that's a bag of...
It's like an empty bag.
Empty bag? Are you kidding?
Oh, full bag.
See, that sounds like some sort of Haribo to me, because there's no...
No, it's too noisy for Haribo.
No. All right, I'm going to go with minstrels.
Okay. Robin?
Munchies. Bag of...
It's giant buttons.
Oh, sorry.
My second choice.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say giant buttons. It had to be, didn't it?
Of course, it's giant buttons. Large print ones.
It's just one button in there.
Also, following on from comments. Oh, yes, this was a good one. Someone got in touch. I won't say who, but someone got in touch from Sky. Personally, so I'm not going to say the person's name in case they get in trouble. But I do want to read their comment out because I was bemoaning the fact that on my Sky box. On Sky Q box that now has voice guidance, if I turn off the hints and then I go back to the box, maybe later that day or the next day, the hints are back on. And I must admit, I'm a bit sick of the hints. I don't need them. So I wanted them turned off. But it just will not stay off. They just keep coming back on. Well, the message I got, which was very quietly sent, said, just for your information, regarding the problem where hints keep coming back on every day with voice guidance on Sky Q, which you mentioned on TikTok, it's a bug we know about, and we are investigating. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So we're all right.
Cool.
They're always listening. That's worrying. thinking back to what I've said. But yeah, that's great. I'm really pleased about that.
Cool. Keep us updated.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, shall we get into some of these emails then? Shall we listen to some emails as read to us by computers and robots? How cool is this?
I think you should put the word robot before each person's name.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I've just realised that we have done this is I can't actually tell. The text size is so big, I can't actually read where the email's from. Excuse me a second. I shall find the information that I require in exactly no time at all. Yes, Norma got in touch to tell us all about, or ask us actually a question about upgrading her phone. Here is Norma's question.
Hi, Tech Talkers. Thanks as ever for a fantastic programme. I bought my first iPhone about 3 years ago. An iPhone 7. And sadly, it's beginning to show its age. I've been very excited about the thought of the new phones having this LiDAR feature and fancied buying a new iPhone in the autumn when the new versions come along. Hopefully there will be lots of apps available to help vision-impaired people using this feature. I have a banking app and the NHS app on my phone and I am concerned about what happens if I trade in my old phone for the new phone. When I bought my first iPhone they set it all up for me in the shop. Does this happen if you go into the shop and buy a new phone and say you want to trade in the old phone? I understand it is possible to transfer the app's settings and data from an old phone to the new phone. Also, do I have to do something with my old phone before I hand it into trade-in? As I say, I'm pretty concerned about things that involve important security like banking and my NHS information, especially being able to prove that I've been vaccinated, etc. Can you give advice and explanations for a beginner, please? Thanks again. Norma.
Well, thank you, Norma. Great question, actually. And I think this is very timely because, for me especially, since you know me, guys, I like to buy a new phone every 5 minutes. And I have had this problem of taking the phone back or, you know, even not so much selling a phone, although this has happened, selling a phone. Robin, I sold you a phone once. We had this problem where this activation lock thing kept popping up. Especially when you got it, when it was asking you to enter, I think, the password for my iCloud account, and you were kind of calling me up in a panic saying, what's going on here? And that was the first time I ever discovered this, where you, it's so ridiculous, but it's part of the security of the Apple phone. Now, to your first question, you go in and you buy a new phone, will they transfer the data? If you're buying a new phone, yes. I would imagine these days you probably need to set up an appointment, wouldn't you, guys? I mean, I think you'd probably have to get a Genius Bar appointment for that.
Yes, like, yes, because it does... It
takes some time.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't take a lot of time, but still, I think, yeah, you would make an appointment.
Are we saying then that they should get somebody else to do it? Because obviously you can do it yourself.
Well, you can, but, you know, it sounds like Norma maybe would prefer for the store to do it, and it might be easier. Mm-hmm. And I think it's obviously the second point about security, privacy, what should Norma do before getting the new phone or before going and buying the new phone. A couple of things I would focus on. iCloud backup. Make sure, and this is difficult to get to, isn't it? Because it's, what is it, under iCloud, and then under backup, he says,
yeah,
putting
on
in
your name at the top, yeah. Go into iCloud settings, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And basically, you want to backup, make sure your phone's backed up. Now, more often than not, if you've set your phone up or it's been set up for you, iCloud backup will be happening anyway, right? It's all happening by itself, essentially. But the good thing is, once you've got the phone backed up, it means that it makes the process of switching over a lot easier. It means that all your data will transfer across to the new device. Now, when I've taken in a phone, as I did recently for trade-in, the two things I had to do was disable Find My. So I had to go into the Find My settings on my phone, and I had to disable that. Because if you don't do that, then that's where this activation log exists. Once you disable that, then it makes it possible to erase the phone. In fact, if you even restore the phone, to my understanding anyway, once you erase the phone anyway, it will in fact give you, or will tell you, it's going to switch off Find My. You'll have to put in your iCloud password. And I advise, if I'm honest, if you're trading in, that might be not a bad solution. Unless... in your case, Norma, unless this is the only phone you have and this is the only thing, you know, this only device you've got, and you obviously need to use it, right? Maybe to navigate to where you're going or whatever you're doing. In which case, let the store do it. They will do it for you and they will talk you through the process as they do it. You don't want to be left without a phone, because what I would do is in my case, I would take my SIM card out, I would, you know, put it in a different phone, I would completely reset that device, make sure my Find My is deactivated, make sure the phone's backed up, then run the reset process, and then wipe the phone. That might be too much to bear for you. So in which case, just take the phone into the store and they will reset it. The good news is everything on your existing phone in exactly the same way you have it will be restored onto that new device. That process has got a lot better in the past few years. So that's a really good thing. And just as an aside to that, when iOS 15 comes out, and I'm running the iOS 15 beta at the moment, and I had to reset the phone I've got, which is the iPhone 12 Pro Max. I wanted to reset it completely to see what that process was like. And it does give you a much better reset option now, where you can have a secure erase function where it will now just completely wipe the phone. And it makes the language a bit more understandable. Because if I'm honest, when I've reset phones before, I don't really know if the phone's erased or not, or it's properly been deleted. There's like two options. There's erase all content, and there's erase all content in settings. Now, obviously, you think, well, delete everything, right? But erasing all content doesn't even make sense in some ways. It's like, well, what's the point in that? So I don't know why you would even have that as an option. So they've made it a bit simpler in the new iOS 15.
I would also add that if you're planning on keeping your old phone, then the process is you get a new phone. Before you've done that, you make sure that your iCloud backup is really recent. Otherwise, you might lose some, you know, WhatsApp messages or whatever it might be, recent things since the last backup. And then if you set up your phone and it'll ask you, do you want to use an old iCloud backup? Then, you know, it will just come down like the old phone, but with two notable exceptions. One is... and this is doing it via the iCloud backup option. One is that your apps will trickle in very slowly, and you'll find that for weeks you'll be, you know, tapping on something and it'll say, oh, I'm just downloading it because it's the first time you've used it. And the other thing is it won't remember any of your password details. So, you know, your username and password, so none of your apps will be logged in. The way to get around that...
It does depend on the app. I will say, Robin, in some cases, some things do. I was quite surprised. Not every app did that. Some apps did go back in quite simply. Some just asked me to confirm my details rather than have to put them in again.
And maybe it's been updated, but certainly if you want to bring everything, including the, you know, secure keychain stuff, then you can back up your phone via a cable to your computer. You need to have iTunes on a Windows machine to do that. On the Mac, it's built in. And that way, it's a much quicker process. It will bring all your apps down and it will make the new phone identical to the old phone, and it won't ask you to re-enter anything.
Oh, that's a cool option, right? Okay.
Wow, that's comprehensive. You too, well done.
Okay. Well, I've gone through the resets so many times in the past couple of weeks that, you know, I kind of feel like I'm an expert on it now. But yeah, no, that there are just so many different ways to do it. And you know, like Norma says, it's all very well and good if you know this stuff, right? But if you don't know...
Yeah, just let the store do it. If you're trading in any way, just let the store do it. It's that they will make sure everything's erased and everything is copied over. It is easier. If you are copying over, just to pick up from you, Robin, if you are copying over to your computer via cable for a total backup of things like your keychain and that, I think the backup needs to be password protected or and encrypted. So just make sure you've got that option ticked as well.
Encrypt backup. Yeah, it's one of the things in the one of the steps in the process. Yeah.
Okay, let's go to another email. This one comes to us from Catherine.
Hi, I'm surprised that you don't give more attention to the Synaptics software. I am not in the least bit any good with technology, but it is just so easy to use and not really that expensive. For me personally, whenever I have need of a replacement phone, I just buy a lower end Samsung Galaxy, which is usually around £100 for a new one, and they transfer my software onto my new phone. All I need is a code they send me by email. Many thanks, Catherine from Buxton.
Thank you, Catherine. Yeah, Synaptics software. Great. I have to say, it's not something I use. We have approached Synaptics for, or Synaptic, I should say, for some loan devices. We've not had much luck in that regard. Synaptic isn't a huge company, so we expect they can't always give out stuff to you know, people like me for months on end. But it is, you know, that's the problem, right? You do need to get into this and use it properly. You've got to spend some time with it. You can't just have 2 weeks with it and then say, right, it's great or terrible. That's disingenuous. And I think for a lot of people, it is the third way. If you're not into iPhones, if you're not into Android, it is a third option. And you know, from my limited experience with it, and it was a while ago, my last experience with Synaptic, when I was in the R&IB shop, I spent some time with it, and I actually thought it was pretty good. It was pretty decent. I mean, for me personally, not that useful, but that doesn't mean anything.
It's not for you.
Right? It's not for me. No, exactly. And I think, you know, people often get annoyed when I bring this up because they think I'm sort of doing down this and saying, well, you know, it's just basic. But there's nothing wrong with basic. You know, easy mode is not a bad thing. And, you know, I've said before, the Blind Shell Classic phone, which is not a smartphone, but it's a feature phone, but it has got a speech software in it. You know, that's such a great phone. If I didn't have the iPhone, I'd have that because it was just a great little phone. But anyway, yeah, good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Greg's also been in touch with a comment for us. So, yeah, Greg in Pennsylvania, hence the American accent on this particular text-to-speech voice.
Hello, Tech Talkers. I am writing to put emphasis on a problem and a solution that I think was glossed over when you read my previous email on the Revo keyboard. A listener could not get to grips with the touchscreen of a smartphone, and you recommended pairing a Bluetooth keyboard. The Revo and Revo 2 keyboard is specifically designed for voiceover users to have tactile control of an iPhone or Android smartphone using TalkBack. It uses button commands to emulate voiceover gestures, giving complete tactile control of a smartphone and a credit card-sized keyboard. It is a specialist device and has a cost associated with it, but as many of your listeners write in with the same problem of not being able to get to grips with a glass touchscreen, I urge you to make your listeners more aware of this solution. Our goal should be to knock down as many barriers as we can, regardless of whether the solution is specialist, mainstream, or a combination of both. For me personally, the Revo is about portability and efficiency, but its ability to get many blind people who could not use a smartphone otherwise is its golden gift to our community. Let's expand our horizons and find solutions.
Well, thank you, Greg. Fair point, I think.
Now, I'm biting my tongue here, right? Okay.
All right.
Because,
holding them back.
I'm sorry, I find this blind people can't use touchscreens argument, it does slightly irk me a little bit. There is absolutely no reason why people can't use touchscreens when they're visually impaired. Yes, there may be other disabilities, and of course I understand there needs to be solutions for that. But for me, I mean, carrying around another piece of kit like a keyboard, even if it is credit card size, and that was the we weren't sure if it was specialized as in designed for the visually impaired or not when it comes to that keyboard, but carrying around another piece, I know I'm going to lose it, or it's not going to be charged up, or whatever it may be. Now, there's absolutely no reason why people can't use the touchscreen. There is a bit of anxiety and a bit of, well, how can I? Going back to Norma's and Synaptic, I totally get it, and you say you're not into technology, but Norma, you are using technology when you're using the Synaptic.
That was Catherine, sorry.
Sorry, that's my fault. Yeah, sorry, Catherine. You are using technology when you're using that. If you were to go onto the full Android operating system, it's just being used to it and being eased into it, and Synaptic is a great piece of software for that. But look, the touchscreens aren't beyond us. They aren't something that we can't use. I don't know. It does irk me a little bit. Sorry.
Horses for courses. I mean, there will be some blind people for whom a touchscreen is one step too far. I'm thinking of David Woodbridge. You know, he's a power user if ever there was one. But he still, you know, really raves about the Revo keyboard because, you know, an extra string to your bow, your tool in your toolbox.
Which I totally get. But yeah. I totally get that as an extra thing. But yeah. Let's not say the reason is because visually impaired people struggle with touchscreens. That's just the point I want to make clear.
Yeah, but I think also the point is, and the reason this comes up, is because of entering text. It's not, I don't think about navigation so much, although definitely you can use the keyboard for that. But, you know, for a lot of people, and I find this as well, entering text is a nightmare on the iPhone for me. I get there with it, but, you know, I'm not accurate in any way. I mean, I can get a text out and that's fine. I can use dictation as well if I want instead of the screen in that way. But I do like having a keyboard, and I do carry around a keyboard with me on my iPhone because I just find it so much easier. Now, I mentioned a Bluetooth keyboard. Personally, I don't really see the difference. I mean, I think the difference between a Bluetooth keyboard and a Revo is choice, right? Revo's great. It might, I don't know the cost of what we're dealing with here, but, you know, a Bluetooth keyboard.
Something like that.
What is it?
250 maybe.
£250?
That could be a fib.
I hope
it
is.
That, guys.
Yeah, we'll get someone to clarify that for
apologies
next week, because that sounds an awful lot
of money.
I'm sure
we'll hear. Yeah.
From that. But yeah, but okay, if it, whatever it is, I mean, you can get a Bluetooth keyboard for very little. So, you know, it is horses for courses. Look, we're out of time, unfortunately, but we can pick this up next week. I'm sure we'll get more emails in the meantime. For now, though, Sean Preece, thank you for coming along.
Sorry. Hello.
Causing nothing but trouble.
I won't be back.
Robin Christofferson, we'll catch you again next week.
I hope you will. Yep. Thanks, guys.